We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And on my right hand, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church and Word of Life Lutheran School in South St. Louis.
And you know, Matt, I was just thinking the right hand is where you want to be, because the right hand is the place of honor, exactly. Yeah, we'll all be at the right hand of God when he comes at the end of the world, so you're in a good spot here at my right hand.
I am honored to be sitting next to you on your right side here.
A couple
weeks ago, we had some, technical difficulty,
I
right?
I don't know what it was.
With the microphone, so we could hear you loud and clear. You couldn't hear me, but they still heard the better half of the duo. So that's good. If a mic had to go out, I'm glad it was mine.
Oh, I tell you what, always really to give one for the Gipper, huh?
That's right.
Whatever that means.
I guess that makes you the
throw
Gipper.
Throw yourself on the microphone. For the sake of your brother here. was the problem. Why did you throw yourself on the microphone?
That was it. Just quit doing that.
No.
Keep yourself on the microphone.
That's right. You should talk in the microphone, not throw yourself on the
microphone. It's a rookie mistake. I am young blood after all. You're the seasoned veteran here at the radio station.
Well, I want to start. Can I start with an amusing anecdote?
We already did.
this is a grandpa story.
Oh, okay.
And, well, I just
grandpa
you know,
John.
You know, you get your pride of your grandkids. So my little daughter Lauren and or not my granddaughter Lauren. I'm sorry, a little 4-year-old, the Korean girl that my daughter Naomi adopted. They're at Dynasty. Have you ever been down to Dynasty in Sparta, Illinois?
The Chinese place?
Yeah.
I think I might have went there with you long time back.
Yeah.
Is it the same place?
Yep,
we haven't been there
place.
Since, I don't think, but yeah.
So anyway, in front of the restaurant, they had all of these tulips up. They were growing, and so my granddaughter Lauren said, "Can I go pick some of the tulips?" And Naomi said, "No. You can go look at them, you can touch them, but you can't pick them." And I'm sorry, I messed up the story already.
Oh no.
My little daughter said, can I go pick some of the roses? That's what she said. Can I pick some of the roses? And my daughter said, no, you can't pick them. You can look at them. You can touch them if you're real careful. And by the way, they're not roses. They're tulips.
Oh, sure. And a teaching moment.
Yeah. And so she went over and then she came back and said, well, they were really nice and they didn't even bite me. And Naomi says, what do you mean they didn't bite you? And this is the honest to God's truth. This seems like something that should have been made up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then she says to her, well, you said they had two lips.
Oh, boy. She takes after Grandpa.
Doesn't she? It made me so proud. Making bad puns, and she's just 4 years old.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
Girl after Grandpa's heart. That's a good one.
All right. What we want to talk about today, and again, I apologize for people who follow along with the lectionary of the church, because we live in this strange time warp where Matt and I get together and we share these things with you, but they won't actually be aired for a couple weeks later. But for both of us, this last Sunday was Good Shepherd Sunday. Did you celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday?
We did. So it was two festivals. It was Good Shepherd Sunday, and then it was also the festival of Mother's Day.
Exactly.
In the church.
Exactly.
Kind of an unofficial church holiday, but especially here in America, it's appropriate, I think, to give thanks to our Lord for those gifts of mothers, especially Christian mothers.
So did you intertwine Mother's Day in with Good Shepherd Sunday in any way, or did you just have Mother's Day as like kind of an addendum to Good Shepherd? How did you? That's always a problem for me as a pastor, because you know, we got this stuff we're assigned to talk about, but like you said, it's Mother's Day, and I'm never quite sure what to do.
Yeah, because it is this fine line, because you have these Bible readings, and it's probably a good idea to stick to them, and for your sermon to actually be about a Bible reading,
especially
right?
For me, because otherwise, who knows what I'd be talking about?
So I did my best to intertwine both, and we'll see how it turned out here. Maybe I'll share a little later. But
okay.
But then we also have this. We do a children's message where I serve at Ascension, and that gives the opportunity, I think, sometimes to share a little too and have that teachable moment with the children of the congregation and the adults, I'm sure, are listening in too, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
And that allows you to cover some of that material as well.
Well, now you've got me wondering, so what did you do for the children's lesson for Mother's Day / Good Shepherd Sunday?
Well, I stole material from...
Thank you.
It was from a good source, though. It's from here on KFUO. So
really?
I was listening earlier.
There was something good here on KFUO?
On a time other than a Saturday morning, even. It's hard to believe.
No, that's not hard to believe at all.
The Saturday morning is the hardest. Yeah, that's true. No, always good stuff. But from Jane Wilkie, right?
Oh, is that right?
And you know Jane,
my classmate,
right?
From
classmate.
Concordia St. Paul.
Yeah, I knew there was some kind of connection. But she had a little illustration about the word mom that was, I thought, neat for a children's talk. The word mom, if you turn it upside down, what does it say?
Wow.
So we talked about the different times that mom makes us say wow, the things that she does for us, the things she does to provide for us as a mother. And we say wow when we see those things, but we also say wow to God, thank you for the gift of mothers. But then you take it a step further, I think, and you talk about Christian mothers in particular. And if you look at wow, W-O-W, mm-hmm. Kind of stands for women of the word. Moms are also women of the word. And so part of being that Christian mom is to be in the word themselves, but also to share that word, pass on that word as a mother, as a parent to their children, especially that word centered in Jesus Christ, so that one day we'll be in heaven with our moms and our heavenly family and see our Savior face to face. So try to tie that all in, that idea of moms who are women of the word, especially those gift of Christian moms. As part of their Christian vocation.
So did you do that Timothy passage about where, you know, this came to you, Timothy, because of your grandmother?
Oh, that's
and
a beautiful,
mother.
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
Eunice and Lois,
exactly,
mother and grandmother.
Thank you. I couldn't remember their names offhand. I'm an old guy. I forget.
What a beautiful picture that Paul would even recognize them as being large players in Timothy's faith formation. And so are our mothers and grandmothers today, too, especially those Christian mothers and grandmothers. And I always like to remember those, too, who aren't even celebrating among us, or that we're not able to celebrate with physically, maybe, but who have gone before us and are with the Lord now in His nearer presence, but still yet they're teaching, affecting, shaping our lives even today.
And that's kind of interesting, because that's actually the connection that we dealt with in our discussion of the Good Shepherd, this idea of being with the mothers who are no longer with us here on earth, but are with us in heaven. Well, we'll get to that. Let's do the story. It is John chapter 10, is the Good Shepherd chapter. This year, we were reading the first verses from John chapter 10. So, Matt, if you want to take it from there, and we'll just kind of share with each other the inspirations that God led us to see in these particular texts this year.
Sounds good. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep.
Okay. Let me show you, Matt, where the Lord took me this year in terms of this text. We've actually been doing a whole series of sermons on spiritual blindness. We were brought into this theme, about 2 months ago when we had the story of Nicodemus. We had a whole series of Bible stories from the Gospel mm-hmm. of John, started with Nicodemus, and we talked about how the fact that this man, even though he was a teacher of Israel, he was actually spiritually blind. In fact, Jesus is amazed. You understand these things? You're a teacher of Israel, and you don't know what these things are all about. And then the next week, we literally had the story of a man who was blind.
Yeah, physically blind.
Born blind, and Jesus gives him sight. And then what were the stories we had? Well, then you get into the whole Easter thing, and you've got Mary Magdalene standing right in front of Jesus Christ and not recognizing. She's blind. And then you've got the story of Thomas, and everyone witnesses to him, and yet he still is blind, refuses to believe until he sees. Although, of course, we got this really strange passage where Jesus says, blessed are those that haven't seen and have believed.
Mm, yeah.
And then, of course, course, we switch Gospels to the story of the disciples in Emmaus from the Gospel of Luke. But it's the same story. They're actually with Jesus, walking with him for miles, and yet their eyes are actually kept from seeing him.
Interesting,
tells us.
Yeah.
So it was funny. Then the next story, I said to him, I thought, well, we're probably pretty well done now with the theme of spiritual blindness, because next week we're doing the Good Shepherd Sunday. We'll probably be on some other theme or whatever. And I was so shocked then. And again, this is why you should never believe me if I give you a tip on the horses. Well, apparently I'm not very good at predicting the future, because it turns out that when you do the story of the Good Shepherd, you are brought back to the concept of spiritual blindness, because you know what the text is immediately before the story of the Good Shepherd?
Yeah, they have Jesus talking to the Pharisees.
It's the story of the man
and
born blind.
And the man born blind,
yeah.
That precedes that even.
And in fact, the conversation here, truly, truly, I say to you, is a continuation of the conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, because they are spiritually blind. Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't mind reading for us, Matt, starting with the chapter before, so this is chapter 9, starting at verse 35.
Okay, we're setting the scene here. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that man born blind,
right? Yeah.
And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you."
By the way, note that it is he who is speaking to you. That'll come
good.
Important later. Yeah, go ahead.
He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
And then, truly, truly, I say to you, we get into so this is actually a continuation now of this conversation. And it occurred to me then, Jesus is speaking to people with a background of spiritual blindness. We have a man who is physically blind, and he can now see. That's not a problem. He can see. But he's still struggling with spiritual blindness, isn't he? Because Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He says, "Well, I don't even know who he is." Okay? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we've really got the issue with the Pharisees, who think they have 20/20 spiritual vision. And yet Jesus suggests, you know, actually, you're blind and guilty, because you will not acknowledge that you're blind. And all of a sudden, this text about the Good Shepherd opened up for me, and I began to see things I hadn't seen before. So, for example, the verses you just read about the thief and the robber, he's talking about the Pharisees, isn't he?
Yeah, as thieves.
Yeah, and as we move on to the text, we'll see why that actually fits them perfectly. They are the thieves and the robbers who had tried to take away the shepherd from this man born blind. But then again, we also have the business about the shepherd, which I think is an intent to comfort the man who now can physically see, but still is struggling with the darkness of spiritual blindness. Because mm-hmm. there's something very profoundly comforting in knowing that we have a shepherd if we're blind, right?
Because
if you're blind, you don't know which way to go. You don't know where to turn. I see the blind guy out there with his little white stick, and I'm thinking, how do you even know what direction you're facing? But Jesus would say to all of us who struggle with spiritual blindness, don't worry. You've got a shepherd who will lead you, guide you, and even carry you if need be. So I'd never, ever thought about having a shepherd in the connection with our being spiritually blind. And that's why we really need a shepherd, because we just can't really see things on our own.
You bet. And for that to resonate with that man so much, as one who was born blind, Jesus said, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you."
Yes.
And then in the verse that follow, he talks about the importance of that shepherd's voice, which I'm sure we'll get to. But this man, for his whole life, he's relied on the voice, listening, the voice of others. And now for Jesus to talk to him and to talk about how important it is to hear the voice of that shepherd, the good shepherd in particular, boy, that must have had such meaning and really resonated with that man born blind. Because that's all he knew. That was his world.
And thank you, Matt, because that's the insight that I'd never, ever had before. But you're absolutely right. Well, read the next two verses, because you're alluding to what is very explicit here in Jesus' parable of the Good Shepherd.
Okay, so we have the setup here with the contrast of the thief and the shepherd. And then in verse 3 of chapter 10, it talks about, "To the shepherd the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
And it's, man, you captured it perfectly, what you said just a moment ago, and I'd never thought about it. The sheep don't see the shepherd. That's not how they follow him. They don't follow him by sight.
Yep, you bet.
But go ahead, because you said that was the thing that God had really kind of worked in your heart this year around, about the voice of the shepherd.
Yeah, well, the voice of the shepherd, because you're right. They don't follow the shepherd because of the familiar look of the shepherd, yeah, not because of the smell of the shepherd, but because of the voice
thank God
of the shepherd.
For that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
They
that
might
you
not
didn't,
want to fall.
Didn't call yeah. Yeah, by smelling you. Okay. Although I'm sure he would have smelled very, very good. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
But that's the importance there, the voice. And what I picked up on, too, is distinguishing the voice of the shepherd from the voice of the thief. Because both of these individuals are calling out to the sheep, right?
Yes.
Both
yeah.
of them are calling. Yeah. One the sheep follow, one the sheep don't follow. And so, do you want to see the Mother's Day? Here's my Mother's Day connection.
All right, good,
okay,
good.
You ready
okay,
for this?
I'm ready
okay,
for this,
so here's
yeah.
the Mother's Day connection. So there's this study that's been done on when babies can first hear and recognize the voice of their own mother.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So is it when they're a preschooler? No, earlier than that, earlier than a toddler, earlier than a newborn even. Consistently, research has shown that when babies can first hear the voice, understand that voice, distinguish the voice of their mother, is in the womb even.
Isn't that amazing?
Even before they're born. It is amazing. So,
how do they know that? Do they take a survey of the babies?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So one of the studies was done by this Barbara Kisilevsky. She's a professor in nursing from Queen's University in Ontario. And she did this study where she took 60 moms who were in that final stage of pregnancy. And she had all 60 moms read the same poem out yeah. loud. And they recorded it. So then they split the moms, 30, you know, one in one place, 30 in the other. Half the moms and babies, unborn babies, heard the poem read in their own mother's voice.
Okay.
Okay, so those babies, unborn babies, heard the poem read in their own mother's voice. The other half heard that same poem read, but in the voice of a different mother, another woman.
Okay.
And what happened was, in both groups, the heart rates of those unborn babies changed.
Is that right?
So the ones who heard the unfamiliar voice, the heart rate decreased, slowed down. The ones that heard the familiar voice of mom, it increased, it sped up. So they theorized that the heart rates decelerated for the babies who heard the unfamiliar voice because they were listening harder.
Okay.
They heard an unfamiliar voice and they were trying to figure out, who in the world is this? Now, the babies who heard mom's voice, it accelerated simply because they theorized that they were excited to hear mom. That when they heard the voice of their mom, it was a familiar voice, and they knew that it was the voice of a mom and someone who loved them, who cared for them, who was familiar, because they heard her voice over and over again and again and again. So the connection then, of course, is...
You know what's ironic about that? I can testify that to myself. I can remember how my heart would start racing when I heard the voice of my mom, but that was primarily because I knew I was in trouble.
It was for entirely different reasons.
That's right.
And it was usually because you're
caught.
Running. You're...
That's right, I'm running.
Your heart's beating like
that
crazy.
That voice, John Paul Andrew Lukomsky. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to distract from your point.
Oh, that's all right. So the point is,
yes.
You know, getting back to our text then, the voice of the thief. It's important to know the voice of our shepherd, because when we know the voice of our shepherd and become familiar with it, like those unborn babies are familiar with the voice of their mother, then we can distinguish between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of a thief.
Yes.
Because the thief comes, he sneaks in, and what I find interesting in this text, what does he do? He calls out to the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing the shepherd does, but the sheep don't follow him because they don't recognize his voice. He's a stranger. The shepherd comes in, he calls out to the sheep, but not only does he call out to the sheep, but we're told he calls out to them by name.
Yes. Oh, you know, see, that's the beautiful
part. Come here,
of that.
Fluffy. Follow me, Wooly. Over here, Cuddles.
Again, you're bringing back memories of my mom calling me. Anyway.
And the sheep follow.
Yes.
The sheep follow.
Yes.
With that familiar voice. And that's what's so beautiful, too, because they know it's the voice of someone who loves them, someone who cares for them.
And I never thought about it, but because they do call them by name. They know them. the strangers don't know them and say, "Hey, buddy, hey, you over there," you know. Yeah. But this is my name. Hey, Matt. Hey, John.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for us who are sheep of our good shepherd's flock, because Jesus talked about more than just, you know, how to care for woolly quadrupeds here. Okay, this has a spiritual value to it too.
Woolly quadrupeds. You've been doing that Reader's Digest New Word of the New Day thing, haven't you?
You caught me. I heard that one from Jane Wilkie too. No, not really. But the what was I talking about here? So Jesus is, you know, his point being that we are sheep of that fold too,
yes.
And that through baptism he's called us by name and put his name on us. And we are sheep of that fold. But as sheep of his fold, beware, because guess what? There's thieves out there trying to steal us away. And the chief thief of all, Satan himself, who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour.
And he would love a woolly quadruped, wouldn't he?
He would love that. The importance for us then to be able to distinguish the voice of our good shepherd from other voices in the world that are out to get us. And I think the key to knowing the voice of our shepherd is found in those unborn babies. Those unborn babies, how do they know the voice of mom? Because they heard it again and again and again and again. And for us to hear the voice of our good shepherd again and again and again and again, in Bible class, in our own study of God's word, in worship, listening to KFUO, listening and Wrestling with the Basics, so that we're able to distinguish then when we hear something, is that really the voice of my loving, caring shepherd, or is it the voice of a thief?
Yep.
And
yep.
to be able to distinguish that as sheep know the voice of their good shepherd.
And see, again, this fits in perfectly then with the theme we were running with the spiritually blind, because that's the only way you're going to recognize your shepherd.
Yeah.
You're not going to recognize him by what you see. In fact, would suggest that's what the thieves do. They take on the appearance of a good shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. They actually look like they're the shepherds. But then when you listen to the voice, you say, oh, wait a second. No, this isn't. This isn't the voice of my shepherd, because they're actually leading me someplace else instead of leading me to the good shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. For me, then it all goes back to what Jesus says, blessed are those that haven't seen and yet have believed, because this is where the faith comes from. It's not from what we see. In fact, very often as a sheep, we seem to miss the shepherd. I mean, in our eyes, at least, he seems like he's kind of abandoned us, left us. What does David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But of course, when we listen carefully, we'll hear his voice and realize he's still with us. In fact, see, that was the other insight that I had in that same context. Isn't that interesting? David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But he doesn't say, because I see you there, but rather because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It is, after all, the valley of the shadow. So it's too dark. It's too cloudy, too foggy. You can't really see the shepherd. But you still know he's there because he's touching you with his rod and his staff, which Luther's interpretation was that is, again, his word. And his sacraments as well, which, of course, are his words in a very concrete, physical way. So, all right. Next week when we come back, Matt, I will tell you how I tied Mother's Day into the story of the Good Shepherd. But certainly the Lord moved us to honor both mothers, but also remind us that the voice that we need to hear is the voice of our Good Shepherd. All right, quickly, I got to find it. Where is it?
You got to close it out. Oh, there, because the music is the best part of the show.
Yes,
so you got to find that.
And I couldn't find my little mouse thing there to find out what to click. Blessings to you, Matt. And anything else you want to say as we wrap up?
God's blessings to all those mothers, even though Mother's Day is past. So God's blessings to you. And thank you for the blessing that you are in the lives of those you nurture and those you serve.